Chapter 2. That winter, Robert Cohn went over to America with his novel, and it was accepted by a fairly good publisher. His going made an awful row, I heard, and I think that was where Francis lost him, because several women were nice to him in New York, and when he came back, he was quite changed. He was more enthusiastic about America than ever, and he was not so simple, and he was not so nice. The publishers had praised his novel pretty highly, and it rather went to his head. Then several women had put themselves out to be nice to him, and his horizons had all shifted. For 4 years, his horizon had been absolutely limited to his wife. For 3 years, or almost 3 years, he had never seen beyond Francis. I am sure he had never been in love in his life. He had married on the rebound, from the rotten time he had in college, and Francis took him on the rebound from his discovery that he had not been everything to his first wife. He was not in love yet, but he realized that he was an attractive quantity to women, and that the fact of a woman caring for him and wanting to live with him was not simply a divine miracle. This changed him so that he was not so pleasant to have around. Also, playing for higher stakes than he could afford in some rather steep bridge games with his New York connections, he had held cards and won several $100s. It made him rather vain of his bridge game, and he talked several times of how a man could always make a living at bridge if he were ever forced to. Then there was another thing. He had been reading W.H. Hudson. That sounds like an innocent occupation, but Cohn had read and reread The Purple Land. The Purple Land is a very sinister book if read too late in life. It recounts splendid imaginary amorous adventures of a perfect English gentleman in an intensely romantic land, the scenery of which is very well described. For a man to take it at 34 as a guidebook to what life holds is about as safe as it would be for a man of the same age to enter Wall Street direct from a French convent equipped with a complete set of the more practical Alger books. Cohen, I believe, took every word of The Purple Land as literally as though it had been an R.G. Dunn report. You understand me, he made some reservations, but on the whole, the book to him was sound. It was all that was needed to set him off. I did not realize the extent to which it had set him off until one day he came into my office. "Hello, Robert," I said. "Did you come in to cheer me up?" "Would you like to go to South America, Jake?" he asked. "No." "Why not?" "I don't know. I never wanted to go. Too expensive. You can see all the South Americans you want in Paris anyway."
"They're not the real South Americans."
"They look awfully real to me. I had a boat train to catch with a week's mail stories, and only half of them written." "Do you know any dirt?" I asked.
"No."
"None of your exalted connections getting divorces?"
"No. Listen, Jake, if I handled both our expenses, would you go to South America with me?"
"Why me?" "You can talk Spanish, and it would be more fun with two of us."
"No," I said. "I like this town, and I go to Spain in the summertime."
"All my life I've wanted to go on a trip like that," Cohn said. He sat down. "I'll be too old before I can ever do it." "Don't be a fool," I said. "You can go anywhere you want. You've got plenty of money."
"I know, but I can't get started."
"Cheer up," I said. "All countries look just like the moving pictures." But I felt sorry for him. He had it badly.
"I can't stand it to think my life is going so fast and I'm not really living it."
"Nobody ever lives their life all the way up except bullfighters."
"I'm not interested in bullfighters. That's an abnormal life. I want to go back in the country in South America. We could have a great trip."
"Did you ever think about going to British East Africa to shoot?"
"No, I wouldn't like that."
"I'd go there with you."
"No, that doesn't interest me."
"That's because you never read a book about it."
"Go on and read a book, all full of love affairs with the beautiful, shiny black princesses." I want to go to South America. He had a hard, Jewish, stubborn streak. Come on downstairs and have a drink.
Aren't you working?
No, I said.